So today we want to talk about prayer. Prayer is power. Amen? So why don't you write that down if you're taking notes? Prayer is power. And this has come out of our Seeking the Lord prayer and fasting time. We so need the power of God in our lives, don't we? Amen. In fact, right now we pray, Lord, together. We ask for your power. We ask for your anointing. We ask for your visitation. God, we need you. We need to be close to you. We need you to build prayer more in our lives so we listen to you more, so we're with you more, so we're talking with you more. Lord, lead us on in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I talk about prayer, I'm not talking about some religious ritual or some spiritual box we tick. I'm talking about seeking the face of the Lord. So I've got a question for all of us this morning, myself included. How's your prayer life? How is your prayer life? John Wesley, that amazing 19th century British preacher and revivalist and author, he said, God does everything by prayer and nothing without it. He does everything by prayer and nothing without it. Do you know, in the New Testament alone, there are 217 explicit references to prayer. And in a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you pray, he said, when you pray three times within the space of two verses, and he said, when you fast twice within two verses. He didn't say if you pray or if you fast. He said when. Jesus is assuming we have a prayer life. Jesus is assuming and expecting us to have a strong prayer life of seeking him daily, not on special occasions only at Christmas and Easter, but daily, because we are God's people and we need to be hanging with him, amen, and communing with him. And I love it when we do that individually, but I also love it when we do it communally. The prayer meeting is the place of power. And when we gather together in his name, there is great power present. What is frightening today is the number of churches who don't even have prayer meetings, ever. And that is scary right now. And I love how every C3 church must have a regular prayer meeting. It's mandatory. It's non-negotiable. If you're in C3, you've got to be praying. And we need to be praying because we need God to show up in our lives, don't we? And in our families and in our church and in our city and in our nation and in our world. Or do we actually think we have it all together and we're all that and we've got it all going on to such an extent that we don't need the Lord? We pray because we need God. We need him to intervene. We need him to show up because in ourselves we've got nothing. Man, I need the Lord every day. I'm not trying to twist your arm today and say, come on, pray, come on, come on. I want you to want to pray. I want us all to want to hear his call and respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to go running after him daily like a child to meet with him. Seeking the Lord is good for us because it keeps us reliant on him. You know, the posture of prayer is a posture of humility. Even if we're not literally on our knees, to pray is to humble ourselves. To pray is to say, I can't do it. I need your help, Lord. And we know that pride increases when prayer decreases. Because pride doesn't need anyone's help. So pride certainly doesn't pray. And pride doesn't go on altar calls either. Pride will not submit to anyone. Pride will not be held accountable to anyone. But humility is the opposite. Humility prays. Humility asks God for help. Humility goes on altar calls. Humility asks others for help in prayer too. Humility submits to one another in love. Humility lives in community. Humility is even willing to be held accountable. Pastor Phil Pringle, the leader of our movement, he wrote this amazing book called If, The Art of Prayer. And if is referring to that scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And he says in his book, so often the church has forgotten how to pray. Prayer, so I think we lost something, have we? Prayer to the church is like oxygen to lungs. We die without it. The church has no future unless it has a base of prayer. I want to encourage us all to make a regular habit of not only having our own prayer lives, yes, but also being in the prayer meeting. Even before you get to Connect Group, get to the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is the engine room of the church. The prayer meeting is powerful. The prayer meeting needs to be on our calendars. And you've got one tomorrow night at John and Annie's, is that right? Hello, that is awesome. Thank you, John and Annie, for hosting that place of power, the prayer meeting. We have prayer meetings at church regularly in every location. There's a monthly one, North Coast, Tauranga. We've got a prayer room. Who's been in the prayer room in Tauranga building? It's so amazing. And I don't expect you all to go in there for prayer meetings because you live out here. But it'd be really great if you could get to the Monday night monthly one here. And I've been going to a morning weekly prayer meeting in our church for, I think, 25 years. But I love it. And it helps me. And it sharpens me. And we also, in Tauranga, every Sunday morning, we have two people, sometimes three, rostered on. So they're on, these intercessors are on once a month. And they pray during the Sunday morning church service for Coast and North and Tauranga and for the night one that's going to happen. They're interceding for an hour and a half during the whole service. And we also have before and after, before service prayer, sorry, I was going to say. We also have two seasons, as you know, of prayer and fasting a year in our church. One is leading up to Easter and one is leading up to our annual conference increase in September. So you might be thinking, phew, I got through that season of prayer and fasting. Well, there's another one coming up in 6 months. And this is when we hold extra prayer meetings and we encourage people to fast partially or fully for some of that time. Most of us fast partially. If you're fasting fully, you might need to be lying on your bed for 11 days. Take a bit of annual leave. But it is good. Some people fast some social media and stuff like that and the news or whatever. But it is good to do food as well, because in the Bible when they fasted, it was always food. So we need to do some aspect of food too to feel the pain. And when we feel that hunger, we replace it with prayer. So maybe instead of eating that meal, we pray in our bedrooms, or we're seeking the Lord, we're getting closer to Him. So we've got to not only have a lifestyle of prayer corporately in the prayer meeting and individually a strong prayer life, we need to keep on praying and not be discouraged. Because tell you what, there's this cumulative effect of our prayers. They accumulate in heaven. We know this from our first scripture. Here we go. Revelation 5, verse 8b. It says in the New King James, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I've always been intrigued with this scripture. So saints, that's us. Put your hand up if you're a saint. It's not just Mother Teresa. In the Bible, when it says saints, that means believers. That means Christians. That means you. Tell the person next to you, you always knew you were a saint. That's right. We've got Saint Ashley and Saint Charlotte on the front row here. Come on. So we see here, and also in Revelation chapter 8, it mentions it again, that God seems to have bowls in heaven that He stores our prayers in for use at the proper time. Just a little, just to say that this is different to Revelation 5, chapter 16, which have bowls of the wrath of God. That's separate. We're talking about bowls of prayer, which are mentioned twice. So then I got to thinking, if there is a particular bowl in heaven for each person's prayers, if there's a bowl that says Eleanor and a bowl that says, you know, Annie and a bowl that's, then I got thinking, how full would my bowl be? How full would your bowl be? Let's keep praying. Let's not be discouraged. Let's not give up. Let's fill up our prayer bowls in heaven until they get so full they tip over. Until they get so full they overflow in Jesus' name. Let's see the accumulative effect of our prayers overflow. Don't stop praying now for that thing you're praying for, because your bowl may be nearly full. Keep going. It might almost be at tipping point. You know, people prayed for decades about the Roe versus Wade thing in America, over 50 years, and that's been overturned. And many people thought they'd never see it in their lifetimes. But people kept praying, and now hundreds of thousands of lives will be saved because that has turned over. Hallelujah. praise God, we've got to keep praying that it goes right across the USA into many nations. So some people say, wow, God's not deaf. He's heard you ask him for that thing before. You don't need to keep on asking. If you ask more than once, that's unbelief. Wrong. R-O-N-G. Wrong. Jesus himself encouraged us to pray and keep on praying. It says in his Sermon on the Mount, let's throw it up there, Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. This is the Amplified. It says, keep on, this is Jesus, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and that door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and she who keeps on asking, keeps on seeking finds, and to those who keep on knocking, it will be opened. So we've got to keep on. So I want to encourage you today, keep on praying for that unsafe friend. Keep on praying for that backslidden kid. Keep on praying and don't ever stop. Pray like their soul depends on it, because it does. Because it does. Now I want to share with you and speak into a prophetic word we received in our church 2 months ago from Rebecca Connett. Who knows David and Fran Lorenz in our church? Their daughter, Rebecca, and her husband are pastors in Australia of a large church in Newcastle, I believe. And she got up to preach on Waitangi Day and she said, the Lord's given me a word for your church. And that word, and I'm going to read it, is in Genesis 26, verse 18. And the word was, Isaac reopened the wells that were dug in the time of his father. So her word was, it's time to redig some of the wells of Abraham. Our church has got to redig the wells. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 12, Genesis 26. So it's talking about Isaac, Abraham's son. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Look, the P word, it's in the Bible. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us. You are much mightier than we are. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Here's our key verse. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. Isaac called them by the names which his father had called them. So I believe one of the wells we need to open up again, redig again, is the well of prayer. The well of prayer. She didn't specifically say what the wells were, but I feel that is one of them. So a bit of context, bit of background. Isaac was fed by the wells of water that his father Abraham had dug. And he reopened the wells that Abraham had dug that the enemy had blocked up. God is calling us now today in 2023 to reopen some wells that were dug by previous generations that the enemy has blocked up. They're still there, but they're blocked up. We can't access them. It is time to redig the wells of prayer. Tell the person next to you, it's time. Tell them on the other side, it's time. It is time to redig the wells of prayer. Now, a bit of context, which we see if we go right back to verse 1, which I didn't read to you for the sake of time, but there was a famine in the land. So a famine, what does that mean? It means there's been no rain, and so there's a drought, so the crops can't grow, thus we get a famine. So like Isaac, we need to learn to dig a well wherever we are, even when the ground is hard. Even if you are in a spiritually dry time, we've got to learn to dig a well in Jesus' name. Come on, we've got to dig no matter how soft or hard the ground is. Because no matter how dry the surface is, there's always water underneath. We just need to dig for it. Even in the most barren of landscapes, there is this unseen underground river beneath the surface. It is called the water table. And all we need to do is dig down to access this beautiful, clean, pure, life-giving water. There is a source there. There is a flow there that we can't see. But if we dig down, we will find it. We've got to keep on digging. My genuine spade even has dirt on it. How about that? Here's another verse, John 7, verse 37, I'll read. In Scripture, water, especially a well or a spring of water, speaks of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, John 7, 37, I'm just going to put that there because it'll fall over otherwise. And then dirt will go on the floor and I feel sorry for whoever's hoovering later. Jesus said in John 7, 37, let anyone, this is the New Living, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit. So let's go with our analogy of digging. The presence of the Holy Spirit is always there. The presence of God is like a spiritual water table beneath the surface. So even in a spiritual famine, when it feels like everything's dry and it's barren and you can't see any fruit, we can dig down and we will hit the river of God. We will hit the presence of God. This digging is prayer. We've got to dig through the hard stuff, dig through the natural realm, dig down until we hit the presence of God. We dig through the barrier of the natural realm, the things of this world, in order to enter the spiritual realm, the presence of God. We've got to dig through the fleshly things. We've got to dig through distractions and tiredness and stress and irritation in order to find the water of the Spirit of God. The question is today, are we willing to dig? How thirsty are we? How much do we want the presence of God flowing in our lives? Are we prepared to put time and energy into this? Are we prepared to make it a priority in our lives, that time we meet with the Lord? Are we prepared to dig even deeper than maybe we did last time, than maybe that we had to the time before that? Are we prepared to dig through and press through the natural realm in order to get into that life-giving, pure presence of God? Because digging can be hot and dry and dusty work. It can be hard work. Same with personal prayer, corporate prayer. It can be hard work. We need to persevere. We've got to learn how to pray through, how to dig through. Because when we begin to pray, it can feel hard and it can feel dry at times. And we can't feel God yet. And right there is when you're digging a well. You're digging through the natural realm. And you decide to pray. You go into your room. Okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to have a prayer time. I'm a Christian. I need to pray. Christians pray. I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to hear from God. And I'm going into my room and I'm not coming out till I do. So you go into your room. You shut the door. And you walk around praying. You go, happen to walk past the mirror. You think, oh, was that a bit of fluff? What was that? Oh, and then you, oh, no, there's a blackhead. Oh, hang on. I'm just going to. You think, oh, I'm going to squeeze that blackhead. And then you hear your phone beep. A text pops up and you hadn't turned your phone onto flight mode or turned it off and just feel compelled to read the text and then answer the text and then, oh no, I'm praying, I've got to get back to praying. You're walking around praying and then you hear the neighbor's lawnmower start up and you think, oh, he's mowing his lawns, I should do our lawns. When am I going to do our lawns? I haven't got time. You start thinking about your schedule and right there, we're distracted. It's a battle to keep our minds and our hearts focused on Jesus. Right there, we are digging through all the dirt. We're digging through the natural realm in order to access the supernatural realm. But if you keep going, and if you keep digging, and you keep pressing through, after a while, you will strike water. You will hit the presence of God. And when you hit that water, it feeds you, it quenches your thirst, it refreshes you. And it's like that spiritually. After praying for a while, it's hard. You press through the natural realm. You get into the realm of the Spirit and you encounter the Holy Spirit and He floods you. And now you are there in the timeless presence of God. And you can feel Him all over you. And you can hear Him speaking to you. And you can hear His voice. And you're in tune with Him. And you realize, this is so worth it. I am so glad I kept digging. Imagine if I stopped just before I hit that seam of gold. Imagine if I stopped just before I hit the water. I'm so glad I kept digging. God wants us all to learn how to dig wells of prayer. God is calling you and I today to dig a well. We dig, dig, dig. Then we hit that beautiful water. We pray, pray, pray. Then we hit the beautiful presence of God. And when you dig a well in prayer, you are not the only one fed by that well. Others will also be fed and refreshed by the well that you dig in prayer, because the well that you dig becomes a reservoir of the Holy Spirit within you. You carry it around with you. You carry the presence of God, and anyone who comes close to you can be fed and touched by the living water of the Holy Spirit that is within you. Even people who don't know the Lord can notice this about you. You carry a spiritual resource within you that is far greater than you are. Thank you, Father. So we need to let people come and drink from the wells we dig. We need to let them receive of the Holy Spirit, even through us. Don't just dig one well and stop. Dig another one. Isaac was always digging wells. If we read around this part of the Bible, Genesis 26, he was always looking for that valuable, life-giving water. He dug a well in each place he went to. We also need to be continually digging wells wherever God leads us. Now, if we read in verse 17, it says, in the valley of Gerar, Isaac dug a well and found fresh water. A valley, a low place. When we're walking through a spiritual valley, a low place, a hard time, that right there is a great place to dig a well in prayer. Because in a valley, you need a well more than any other time or place. Who's walked through a few valleys in their lives? Some of you might even be in a valley right now. Make it a place to dig a well in prayer. We need access to the Holy Spirit's presence daily when we're in a valley. The Holy Spirit is the one who will get us through the valley. Whatever valley the Lord is leading you through, dig a well of prayer there. Dig a well. It's going to feed your spirit, because it's in the valleys and the hard times that we grow the most, because that's where we need God the most. So that is where we get to do the most digging. Often it's out of desperation. It's out of, God, you got to help me. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And you know, the reason people dig wells is because they're thirsty, they want water. But the actual act of digging a well makes you thirstier than you were before, because it is hot, hard work. In the same way, we pray because we want and need the presence of God. But the exercise of praying makes us thirstier for God than we were before we started. So the more we pray, the more our desire for Him increases. The more time we have with the Lord, the more we become totally addicted and need Him and want Him every day. And it makes us determined to not stop until we find Him. This is part of the reason I love going to these weekly prayer meetings. It sharpens me spiritually. It increases my desire for the Lord. And plus, God answers our prayers and people get saved and they get healed and they get jobs and all of this stuff. It's a win-win. You know, in this chapter, Genesis 26, in verse 14, we see that others got envious and jealous of what Isaac had in God. They wanted a well like he had. Today, many people still get jealous of you and the wells that you have dug in prayer. You know, it's easy for us to be jealous of another person's well. Well, Lord, how come he has a well that he can drink of and I don't? Why are you blessing her and not me? It's not fair. When in reality, those people we're envying have probably just dug a well that we couldn't be bothered to dig. They have tapped into that unseen reservoir of the Holy Ghost that we were too tired or too lazy to dig down into. When we were sleeping in on Saturday morning, they were digging. When we were watching Coronation Street, they were digging. When we were gaming or on social media or on Facebook, they were digging. When we were watching some lame Netflix movie, they were digging. Wells in prayer. We need to be seekers of the Lord. We need to be diggers of wells. We need to be people of prayer. Verse 18, we see who's the opposition from here? The enemy. The Philistines, they were the enemy. You and I both know the devil does not want us digging wells in prayer. He does not want you and I to tap into more of the Lord. And we see in verse 15, the enemy even blocked up some of the wells. This was a common practice in the Middle East. You'd chuck, if you didn't like someone, you'd go and chuck some dirt in their well, some sand, some stones, maybe even an old bike, maybe even a rotting animal's carcass, things that are unclean, into your enemy's well. This is what Satan tries to do to us. His objective is to block up your well so you can't access the presence of God. He does not want you to have free access to the Lord who nourishes you. So he tries to disrupt our prayer lives. He makes us too busy. He makes us too distracted to pray. He tries to block our well by throwing unclean things into it. A well is a tangible evidence of God's blessing on us. It was back then and it is now. It shows that we have the divine resources of God flowing in our lives. And digging a well is also a sign of territorial ownership. It's ownership of property. If you've dug a well there, then you own that land. It's a sign you've taken the enemy's ground and are occupying it. That's why the devil hates it. So he tries to pollute our well and make it unclean. He tries to distract us from prayer with unclean thoughts and practices. He tries to pollute our minds with things that pull us away from God. But we must be disciplined to guard our well. We must be disciplined to guard our prayer life and take authority over unclean thoughts and actions in Jesus' name. Because we can. We are not victims. You can stand in your authority that the Lord has given you. Tell the devil where to go in Jesus' name. When we dig wells like Isaac, we will often meet with opposition. It is not always easy to dig wells, but it is always worth it, especially for the generations who follow. I reckon God is watching us now to see if we are going to be prepared to dig wells like our parents' generation did. Abraham dug a heap of wells, but Isaac had to dig some too. He had to redig some of Abraham's and he had to dig some fresh ones. There are some wells that need to be redug every generation so they don't get stale, so they don't get old, so there's a fresh flow, and I believe prayer is one of those. You know, the Lord will move on whoever is hungry, whoever is prepared to dig. And did you know that generations after Isaac, generations after, were nourished by the wells he dug? You know, these wells can last for hundreds, even thousands of years. You know, that well at Beersheba, it's mentioned all through the Bible. The well of the oath, it actually means the well of the sevenfold oath, and there's actually at least seven wells there. And we read about Elijah stopping off there hundreds of years later. And it's even still there now in modern times. In World War I, 100 years ago, Kiwi and Aussie soldiers were involved in a cavalry charge in Beersheba by that well, liberating what was known then as Palestine. Who's ever read that book, New Zealand's Christian Heritage by Cole Stringer, who's an Australian? Oh, the irony, it's a great book. And it talks about the last cavalry charge in modern history was Kiwis and Aussies liberating what is Israel, which is hugely significant. Who knows how many generations will be nourished by the wells that you dig? Who knows? Your kids, your grandkids, your natural kids and grandkids, your spiritual descendants, those you disciple, will be fed by wells that you dig in prayer. If the band could come, please. We're going to pray for some people in just a moment. You know, I had a Christian old Irish granny. Thank God for Granny Pond. She would pray in the car with her kids, my dad and uncles and aunts, whilst driving them from the house down to the bus stop. And then when we would go and stay with her a generation later, when my parents were away, we'd stay with Granny and Granddad. She would drive us down to the bus stop and pray with us too. Now, what have I learned from Granny Pond? I prayed with my kids every day as I drove them to the bus stop for 20 years, not the bus stop, down to Bethlehem College for 20 years. And now we've finished 20 years of BC and I'm saving money. Hallelujah. But it was a great 20 years. And no matter who was in our car, when we'd take neighbors and our kids' friends, we would still pray. And we'd say to them, do you want to pray? You don't have to, but you can if you want. And often they would, even the ones who didn't know the Lord. But my granny's prayer life impacted me as a young kid. She would pray with us before bed. I still prayed the prayer she prayed with me, with my kids, because she prayed it with faith. And the prayer that my parents prayed, I don't use that one, but but Granny had faith, so her prayer was better. So I pray that prayer, some little rhyming prayer, with my kids, and then we'd actually pray freestyle, which was good. What a huge spiritual inheritance you can leave to those you disciple. I thank God for the prayers of my grandparents. I know at least three out of my four grandparents were strong Christians. They prayed for me. Probably the reason why I'm here today serving the Lord was the prayers of grandparents. If you're a grandparent, don't ever stop praying for your grandkids. Even though they might look a million miles away from God, I was a million miles away from God, but his arm is not too short that it cannot save, and he could reach into the darkness and pluck us out. And he did that for me. I'm convinced it was the prayers of my grandparents. What a huge spiritual inheritance you can leave to those you are discipling. Man, if you ever get sick of digging, you're getting a bit of a sweat up and it's hot and it's dry and you don't think you're getting anywhere, don't stop digging. Don't stop praying. Think of those kids. Think of your children, your grandchildren. Think of those new Christians that you are discipling. What kind of legacy do you want to leave them? A well of the presence of God that they can feed off all their lives? That their kids can feed off too. And if you dig wells, they will copy you, and they too will become a digger of wells of prayer also. If you are a man or a woman of prayer, they will learn that from you. Let's stand this morning. We're going to worship God in a moment, but I really feel like the Lord is calling some people to become a digger of wells of prayer, to redig the wells of the generation before in prayer. God is calling some of you to make a priority for the prayer meeting every month on your calendar. If you can't get a ride, ask someone else who lives near you to pick you up. Maybe if you can't get out at night, start a daytime one every month at your house. I reckon all you need is three people. Because Jesus said, where two or more agree on anything, I'll be there with you. Where two or more are there, I am there too. When you gather in my name, two or more. So if one person's sick, you've still got two. If you've got three people committed to the prayer meeting. Father, I pray right now that we would be people who would be diggers of wells, who would be people who would dig through the natural, get rid of all the dirt and press through. Press through until we hit the presence of God and dig a life-giving well that we carry around inside of us like a reservoir of the Holy Spirit. If you know God is calling you to become a digger of wells of prayer, why don't you come now? I want to lay hands on you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.